Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
The weather is changing, getting a little chillier out there, folks. I love the season change. I hope you do, too. Here we are, November, December. I mean, can you believe this year? Boy, 2016 zoomed by. Here we are looking down the face of turkeys, and after that, we'll be looking right in the face of Santa Claus. And I hope it's been a great year for you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and I hope you continue to listen to us every week because the show is dedicated to you. It's financial literacy. It's about making you a stronger, wiser, more effective consumer, protecting your money, spending it the right way. And we begin by asking that one question, are you financially fit? And I will do it every time. And before I even get there, but let me just also say how proud and pleased I am that we are participating in various ways for our veterans. As you know, a couple of days ago, Friday was Veterans Day, and this indeed is Veterans Weekend. And we owe such a debt of gratitude to those who serve in the military, who protect us, no matter what else you may think, no matter whether you like Army, Navy, Air Force. There are a couple other services that we'll throw in there. The Marines and, of course, the Coast Guard. God, I love all of these people who do what they do, wherever they do it around the country, around the world, protecting us. So we say thank you for your service, and we'll be dealing with that today. And by the way, I'm talking about the military. I'm talking about your mothers, your fathers, your brothers, your sisters, your uncles. I'm talking about family. All of us can point to somebody who is relatable, who serves in the military. And so we need to understand what they're going through so that we can help them and share with them if they're going in or coming out or if they're serving. Okay, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But right now, let me ask you about financial literacy. You know, by now, you know what I'm talking about. Are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? If you're making more than you spend, you are well on your way toward being financially fit. But if you're spending more than you make, if you have to borrow money to make it stretch for the weekend, if you're unable to get the things that you want, if you just don't have enough money to make things happen in your life, then chances are you're likely to spend more than you make. Don't do that. Do you have 6 months of survival funds in your savings account? Add up all of your monthly expenses, mortgage, rent, utilities, food and drink, clothes, cleaning, everything, folks. Add the monthly total and put that amount away and do it at least six times for a six-month total. So that if something happens to your income, you know that you are good for at least 6 months to meet your financial obligations. This money is not to be touched. It's to be put in a safe place, and it is there guaranteeing you and your family that you will survive in case something untoward happens. Okay? That's your savings account, your survival fund. At the same time, I want you to put away 3 months of emergency funds. This account is for what happens other than a loss of your monthly or annual income. It is for Aunt Sally, who calls and says, I got to have some money. You got to help me. You know, in the twinkling of an eye, we go from someone who can help to someone needs help. So I want you to put away your emergency funds. And you can invest that, but make sure that you keep it at a level. 3 months of emergency funding, whatever you think that's going to be, that's going to make sure that you get through 3 months in case something happens, okay? And finally, and the most important, I think, are your savings. Are you saving at least 5% of everything you make, 5% of your weekly or monthly income? Every payday, pay yourself first. Put aside 5% of that income. Now, if you do that, you can then start to talking about being, yes, I understand what financially fit means, and I am financially fit. If you don't do that, folks, you're playing roulette with your life and your time and your family. So make sure that you are financially fit. You will feel better about your life. You'll feel better about living every day. You'll feel great. Having a little bit of money in the bank is a nice, nice feeling, believe me. All right, here we're going to talk about our folks in the military who they have all of the same problems that we have, and even more, because they are required to do certain things and move in a certain way. And after they have gone through their service, what happens next? Well, there's a manual that is a personal finance guide for military families. And Kiplinger puts this out every year with the help of other folks. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked with Kim Langford, who was a staff writer at Kiplinger. And she mentioned this, and I said, yeah, let's spend some time talking about that. She's on the line with me today. She's coming to us from somewhere in Virginia, or maybe she's in Honolulu. She claims she's in Virginia. I'm not sure. Kim, where are you?
I'm in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Sure you are. Sure you are. You're in Lynchburg. Yeah, right. Couldn't get you out of Lynchburg. Couldn't get you out of Honolulu, beer, but I'm pleased to get you on the telephone. And you are, give us just a little bit of background in terms of your military background.
Sure. Well, my husband just retired from the Army. He was an Army doctor for 21 years. And he started a new job down in Lynchburg, Virginia. So I have a lot of experience both as a military spouse, learning about all the options while he was in the active duty, and then learning about a lot of the options as he made the transition into military retirement.
Mm-hmm.
He was deployed 3 times, twice to Iraq and once to Afghanistan, so we also got to experience a lot of those preparations and find out a little bit through trial and error what some of the plans that we made to make things go smoothly in our household and our finances while he was deployed, and make the most of some of the special opportunities for benefits that the family members have while the service members deployed. So
right.
We've had a little bit of experience in all those different levels of the service, and now going through his retirement.
And you made this retirement. Tell me, are you happy? Are you comfortable?
Yes, we are. And it was really good. He had a lot of decisions to make during his 21 years, whether or not to stay the full time, or, you know, whether to leave after he had, you know, paid off the time. They had paid
right.
for his medical school. And we had a lot of key choices to make, and military families are having a lot of new choices to make about military retirement coming up very soon
nope.
that were not an option when my husband was there, that are really going to be some good new choices for people.
And the financial field manual that we're going to talk about, folks, and that's why we're doing it, because a lot of young men and women, some not so young anymore, are heading out, and they need some help. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Kim, and we'll also talk with another gentleman who's retired. Anthony Hernandez retired from the Air Force, and he's got a view or two on this. So stay with us. This is Home and Family Finance, and we'll be right back with more.
Want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Kim Langford. You've heard from her. She is a retired, her husband is retired. She's a retired spouse, I guess is what you'd call her. But, you know, folks, this article that Kim refers to that she was much a part of, you can go online now to kiplingers.com and you can pull it up, the financial field manual, and you can go look, listen to, and read along as we talk about it. It's a wonderful document for, and you don't have to be in the military to do that. You may have someone that you want to help out. They're coming out of the service and they have some questions. This is the manual that a personal financial finance guide to military families. Couldn't be any clearer than that. Financial readiness is mission readiness. So we're very pleased to have a chance to talk with him. The person that I have in studio that I'm very pleased to have here is Anthony Hernandez. Now, and we'll call him Tony Hernandez. He doesn't mind now. I couldn't have done it when he was in service with those eagles on each shoulder. But he is a retired colonel, 06, from the Air Force, and he now is the chief operating officer of the DCUC, the Defense Credit Union Council. And we've talked about the DCUC and their facilities all over the world and almost every base. And he's here, too, because in terms of just recently retiring, I just imagine, first of all, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I just imagine that if you had a document like this to start, and I'm holding up the field manual, that it would make everything a heck of a lot easier because it answers so many different questions.
It's a great manual. It's plain spoken. It has good concepts, and it's laid out very, very nicely. And there's several things in there that I like that appeal to me about it.
Yeah, so it would be helpful or was helpful. I think there was a manual last year, so it's not the first year that such a manual. So did you use it? And what was the point that helped you more?
I think, well, apart from me, just retiring from the military was the transition segment on this, and knowing what to prepare for. And I think that's vital. Especially for a lot of our military members that are transitioning.
Did you fear the retirement? Were you afraid? Was there anxiety?
There was a bit of anxiety.
How long were you in? I'm sorry.
I served for 25 years in the United States Air Force.
So part of your life, your military life.
Part of my life and part of the income stream that's coming in. And when you make the transition, it's always a little scary, but. As I listened to when you introduced the show, there were a lot of good things you pointed out and saving up for that. And we were fortunate to be able to take advantage of that and to bridge a lot of those gaps. There are a lot of uncertainty coming out, and it's just good to have money in the bank to kind of cover that uncertainty a bit.
Right. And the folks, we don't walk around every day thinking about all the aspects or angles that are going to be associated with retirement if you're in service, that you're living your life. But it is something that you're going to have to deal with. It is for sure a certainty, just as if you were working in a civilian job, that at 65 or whatever, the nice thing about the military, you can get out before you're 65 and enjoy retirement. Now, you've been out since when?
Well, I left the Air Force on 5 August. Mm-hmm. Officially retired on 1 October.
So we're talking just
yesterday.
All right.
It seems
so
like.
Now, Kim, how long have you guys been retired?
My husband retired a little over 2 years ago, and he had served 21 years.
Okay. You had the same anxieties at that point. I think that he's having at this point.
True. And there's a lot of really key financial aspects that families need to keep in mind when they retire from the military. One key thing is that a larger portion of your income is going to be subject to taxes. You usually get a very generous tax-free housing allowance while you're in the military. When you leave, that is usually not part of your...
Doesn't come that way, does it? All right, when we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of other things that our military members will face as they make the transition. This is Home and Family Finance. We're very proud of you wherever you are. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsor, the Defense Credit Union Council, and we thank them for their continued support of this program dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. It's also a matter of fact that CUNA, the Credit Union National Association, has a thing or two to say about this program because they think it's the right idea to make you, again, a consumer that understands how to shop and what you should do. But one of the things I love about the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions is that they believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness, and they support the efforts of Military Saves and their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves, that's a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, to support, and to encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. I tell you this every week, and it's true. It's part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign. Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And as I always say to you, you don't have to be in the military to save. Remember what we said on the top of the show? 5% of everything you make. All the time. Don't ever stop. Just keep saving that 5%. And then you know what? You're going to feel so good about it. You're going to look me up and want to take me to dinner. That's how good it makes you feel when you've got money in the bank. That's true. Absolutely true, Tony. Both of you have made the transition, which is important. And I understand that this has some of the... some new approaches. You said something called a blended...
The blended retirement system.
What is that? What are you talking about?
That is a new military retirement system that Congress has approved, and DOD has been working to bring it online. And that starts coming online in January 2017 when we start educating our military members about the program they can enroll starting January 2018. And so lots of information will be coming out, and of course, the defense credit unions are going to be putting information out about this and educating the public. And the Kiplinger's Financial Field Manual has a great section on that as well, and just educating our populace.
You have this is part of what you're producing now, right? Some of the documentation. And where is that available?
Right. Well, we are currently developing a publication. It'll be available in January 2017. We're partnering with the Lightbulb Press out of New York City, mm-hmm. and we'll develop a 36-page guide that's interactive and or has interactive, visual displays and different diagrams that military members can follow along. We're also looking at getting an app on the phone, because that's the way our youth communicate, and also getting some financial education materials out to our professional financial managers to help them train our troops as well.
Ken, when you retired 2 years ago, was this information available to you then? And if it was, if it wasn't, would it have been helpful to you?
Well, the new blended retirement system is really going to be a great opportunity for people, especially those who don't stay 20 years in the military. The key thing is that the new system won't be taking effect, as he mentioned, until 2018. And people who joined the military before 2006 are going to be in the old system. But there's a really key group. Those who joined from 2006 to 2017 are going to have a choice between the old system and the new system. And the key difference is the old system, you needed to stay for 20 years, and if you did, you would get a pension that was worth about 50% of your base pay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did not stay for 20 years, you would get nothing. And very few people, only about 18% of the people, stay for 20 years and get the military retirement pay. So this new system gives something, an opportunity for extra savings for people who don't stay that long.
Right.
You'll still be able to get a pension after 20 years. Instead of being the 50% of base pay at 20 years, it'll be about 40% of base pay at 20 years. But you will also be able to get an employer match from your thrift savings plan,
wow.
which is really, really a great thing. A lot of people who have civilian 401ks don't realize that people in the military never had the option for a match in their thrift savings plan.
That is huge.
Under the new system, the Department of Defense will contribute 1% to the people who choose that plan, and then they will match up to the remaining, up to an extra 4% that you contribute to your plan. So you can get up to 5% contributions to your plan in free money, essentially, as a match every year. And so the key thing is that if you're not going to stay for 20 years, it's a good idea to go with the new system, because then you'll at least get that, and if you do end up staying for 20 years, you'll get the pension.
Wow.
Otherwise, do the math and figure out which
figure
one
out.
Put you ahead.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about other parts of this that I think are important for you. Listen, that's major. What a big change. As a former military member, I heard you. Okay. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
Safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
It's good to be with you here, and we're talking about the programs that are available for you if you are coming out of the military. And by the way, the programs that are available if you're in the military that can be helpful if you take advantage as you go in. I mean, somebody that goes in with the idea that I understand the programs, this blended concept, if I can go in with that understanding and saving, I only can up my income and what I'm going to get out of this at the end of 20 years, or if I don't stay 20 years, there are other angles that work for me.
Right. Well, this is it's a great program. It backs up everything we've been talking about for years in terms of financial readiness and financial education. And this is DOD putting their money where their mouth is, and really backing our troops.
Kim Langford is a writer with Kiplinger And folks, Kiplinger.com is where you can go. You can see what we're talking about right now. It's right there in print, among other things, in the issue that we're talking about, and that's the financial field manual that Kim inked and put together. She is the author of the guide as years of firsthand experience with these issues, and she is also a military spouse. Now, in this issue, you can talk about investing in your future, your military benefits, before and after deployment, buying and selling a home, financial fraud watch, leaving the military, financial resources. Kim, that's just a ton of good stuff that people need to know about, and it's all in one place.
And, you know, we wanted to do this because so many times in Kiplinger's we'll do, you know, some short articles for members of the military, but we wanted to put it all together because a lot of members of the military don't realize some of these special financial benefits that they have access to while they're serving. And so we talk about the special savings opportunities and how you can save even more while you're deployed. Things like being able to transfer your GI Bill benefits to your children. We did this for my son. If you stay for 6 years and sign on to stay for another four, you can take your GI Bill benefits and pay for college for your children for up to 4 years for a state college, or have about $21,000 per year for tuition. I mean, things like this that you just need to know the strategies and can be incredibly valuable benefits. Very low-cost life insurance, special legal protections, special loan options, and then also how to transition into some of the new benefits that are available when you do leave the military.
Tony, how many military members, in all fairness and honesty, are they taking advantage of? Do they know about these things?
I think we're getting more education out there, and I do see it. You know, as a recently graduated Mission Support Group commander in the Air Force, you know, we saw it lots of times with our first term airmen, you know, coming on board, and with our Airman Leadership Council as well. And, you know, and Kim brings up, you know, a good point. You know, just lots of benefits, lots of stuff out there, but you don't know because it's all coming at you all at once. And just having a nice, succinct guide is valuable for our military members. You know, and as a graduated squadron and group commander, you know, readiness, that speaks to our, you know, our troops being able to do their jobs overseas in defense of our nation.
Yeah.
And financial readiness is a part of that, not having to worry about things back home.
Yeah, you can't protect me if you're worried about your family, if you're worried about the ability for them to survive.
Right.
Okay, and what the military seems to be saying, Kim and Tony, is that we understand that if we're going to have a military member who's coming out of the service eventually, if they think that when they get to that point, everything is going to be in good shape, then they can devote their mind and their time and their effort to doing their job.
That's exactly where I need. I need those aircraft mechanics, you know, focused on getting the jet up in the air. I need my civil engineering troops focused on building roads, you know, that aren't going to crack in the middle of winter. Just lots of different things that we ask our troops to do. And those that are fighting our combat troops, being focused on keeping each other safe,
mm-hmm.
and getting the mission done. And not, you know, letting, at least taking the financial worries away so that mom or dad or the kids are safe back home.
Kim, what's available to, if one of our military members is coming out and he goes through the manual and he sees some things that touch him, are there people out there or organizations or agencies that they can go to help them figure out what they need to be doing?
Well, yes. In fact, on the basis, there's the financial planning managers who can be really, really great resources. And then also the credit unions on base can be wonderful resources as well. For people who need some help and are thinking about, you know, whether they want to take out a payday loan, which we talk about in the manual can be, you know, not a good option, they can also get some help from a credit counselor or from their credit union or from the emergency relief funds available for each branch of the service. And one good thing is at the end of our manual, we have a list of financial resources for military families. There's a lot of really great websites, both from the government and from private organizations, that really spell out a lot of step-by-step things to help people make the most of all of these resources.
Well, I think it's fascinating that the service is looking at this and saying, I'm the military services, and I don't mean just one thing. Look, we can do a better job. We can help by making sure that these kinds of this kind of information is not only available but available in one source. Or in you guys are publishing something along the same lines under conservation.
Absolutely, and she's hitting everything that we're putting out through the Defense Credit Unions as well. And one thing I want to foot stomp, and it's also in the Kiplinger's Guide, is don't just take advice from anybody. Check out their credentials. get someone that's certified in your area or looking at a broker's record. Don't just take, the barracks lawyer approach, some good sound financial advice. We'll point you in the right direction, but the information.
And it doesn't cost you anything. You just got to make the effort. Folks, this makes so much sense. You got to look up this guide. And if you're coming out in another 4 or 5 years, it doesn't make any difference. Start finding out what your options are. This is Radio America. I'm Paul Berry. We'll be back with more in just a minute.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guests are Anthony Hernandez, a recently retired Air Force colonel who is now the COO of the Defense Credit Union Council. And, of course, we've talked about that. Our military members certainly know what the council is, and I want you to take advantage of what services they offer. And, of course, Kim Lankford, who is part and parcel of this big article, which is called The Financial Field Manual by Kiplinger. You can find it by going to Kiplinger.com. And that's easy, folks. Go online and you can do what I did. I printed out the article. It's about 20 pages and it covers so much good information. And of course, Tony's organization is doing its own production of certain documents that they think or information that they feel you should know. But you have to take the first step. You have to reach out to find out this information. And as Tony pointed out here, make sure you know who you're getting the information from.
That's correct. Walk into your credit union or go to your family readiness center and talk to your the financial planners that are there. But always check credentials if you're going to seek further advice on investments, on making certain types of deposits. It's just good to get some certified knowledge before you take that leap.
Kim, you've been out now for 2 years. How much do you rely on this kind of information? Is it still vital to you to have the military to kind of lean back on or the organizations, the manuals and things like this? Are you still, after 2 years, are you still counting on the military for help?
Oh, definitely. Since my husband retired from the military, we do get access to a lot of military benefits, even though he's no longer on active duty. He gets his retirement pay, and we also have access to TRICARE healthcare coverage. And I had done some earlier editions of the guide, and in this version, a key thing was to update about the new retirement system. But I also was able, from personal experience, to be able to include a lot more information about key decisions you need to make after you leave the military, and also to prepare for that transition. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, when you're considering how much income you need to get paid after you leave the military, it's a much different calculation because you're no longer getting a tax-free housing allowance. You're no longer getting access to very low-cost life insurance. You have a lot of different benefits that you're no longer having when you're outside of the military that you're going to need to replace. Another key thing that we discovered is, health care. You do pay a premium for TRICARE, and it can, fill in gaps if you have coverage through an employer, but you generally may have some additional health care expenses that you may not have had when you're on active duty. So there's just a lot of new budgeting that you need to do once you leave the military that we've learned from experience over those last 2 years.
Oh, yeah, plus survivor benefit plan for a spouse.
It's a key decision. I remember they come and the spouse has to come
to
the meeting to make the decision. And this is a very important, if you do stay for that 20 years and have the retirement pay, you can choose to have that pay a little less, to get a little less pay every year while you're alive, but your spouse will continue to get a portion of that after you pass away. And it ends up being a very, very valuable benefit for many people. It's an important decision everyone needs to make, but you really need to think carefully about whether that's valuable to you. And for many people, it is.
Right. You brought up a great point about, you know, replacing your income that you were accustomed to in the military with, you know, with the job that you're seeking to pay for some of that. And you're right. Basic allowance for housing is no longer there, tax-free. It's all on your dime. And state taxes, you know, wow, if whatever state you decide to live in, you need to research those types of tax laws and what you're subject to.
And Kim and Tony, please help me with this. What is the most common mistake? I mean, mistake do our military members make as they're coming out? Is it that they don't? How soon should you go out and start looking for the replacement income or another job? Is there a restriction on when you can start to kind of hunt for new employment?
Well. Go ahead, Kim.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's really important to start thinking about what you're going to do afterwards, because a lot of times some of the skills that you had in the military, sometimes they may translate directly into your post-military job.
Okay.
But sometimes it may take a lot more creativity to think how those skills, those leadership skills and things like that may apply and make you very qualified for a job you may not have considered.
Well, and you know, I've always been taught is every day you're preparing is your job interview for your next job. So shake hands, get your name out there. You never know where those contacts are going to come from, and that's how I was able to come to the Defense Credit Union Council as a chief operating officer. It was just by getting out there and shaking hands. And so I tell my airmen or the families that were serving underneath my command is. You know, get out there and meet people. And now there are some restrictions, and the higher up in rank you go as to when you can really start looking for a job and having to disqualify yourself from certain acquisition decisions.
Right.
So be cognizant of those. But for most troops,
for the average guy like me, we
want you to transition, and I want you to get out there and get you some personal business cards or something. You know, just get your name out there and keep those contacts.
Is
fresh.
That the most? Is that the biggest mistake our military members are making, or not preparing soon enough?
Well, it's going to happen to everybody, whether you like it or not. Retirement or transition separation is going to happen. So it's always a good idea while you're in and you're wearing that uniform and you look good to use that credibility to get your name out there and meet people. And there are tons of veterans organizations out there and tons of businesses and entities out there that want to hire military members. You just got to get out there, shake their hands, and get to know them.
Kim, and without getting too personal in terms of what you guys are doing, but I wondered, your husband is a doctor. Did he go into civilian practice, or did he just put his feet up and say, no more, no mas?
He went into civilian practice, and so he was able to transition from what he was doing in the military to doing pretty much the same thing in the civilian world. So it was a pretty easy transition for him. But for a lot of people, one thing when I was talking to a lot of people, they said it's really important to have a kind of a transition fund, kind of like an emergency fund, because you don't know if it will take a little longer to find a job. You may not have the same job stability that you had when you were in the military, and you may be surprised at some of those extra expenses, such as those taxes when you move to a state that suddenly has income taxes that you didn't have to pay if you were, you know, domiciled in that didn't have taxes before. So just some of those surprise expenses, be prepared for them with some extra emergency fund money over that first year or so.
Well, we've got I want to talk about attitude when we come back. Has the attitude changed from your perspective in terms of how we see our military today? This is Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back with more. Listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. We're talking about the military. As you know, most weeks we try to have something, and the reason I do that is because I have the pleasure, the honor of being carried by the American Forces Radio Network, AFN. And so we program directly to our military members around the world, not only here, but all around the world, land and sea. And I think it's most appropriate, this being Veterans Week, as I call it, and as Kim points out, Veterans Weekend, as Friday was Veterans Day, the importance of reminding ourselves of the proper way that we should greet and look after those people who look after us. It's just so important. Tony, you're now out of the military, and Kim, you guys have been out for a couple of years. Notice any difference in the attitude or atmosphere out here on civilian life for military? Could it be better? Are we more involved and concerned and considerate? That's, I guess, where I'm going with that.
I think as a society, I think we value our military members, and the contributions they make to our nation, I got thanked a lot, walking through airports and, what do you do? I'm serving in the Air Force and, just lots of handshakes. And that feels good. That means a lot.
Kim, I think we've raised the awareness over the last couple of years to understanding, or maybe a little bit longer than that. I mean, when I got out of the military, guys, I took my uniform off because I came out of Vietnam and we were not well appreciated at that point. I must say, things have changed. The Maryland Public Television Station just put on this whole bit about Vietnam vets. It was wonderful, and I felt very much a part of that. So what do you think, Kim? Are things better today about how our civilian side looks at our military side?
And I think that, so many people who have served over the last 10 years or so have been deployed once, twice, three or more times, and have really had the experience understanding what that's like to be, to be in a combat zone. So you know what your family has to, think about all of the ways to prepare for that, all of the ways, financially as well as psychologically, and but also when you get back to take advantage of some of those benefits that you had available while you were deployed. So I think it's really interesting that people who have been in the military over the last several years, so many more of them have been deployed and really understand what that's like, and may not have had a few years earlier than that.
Right, and I think the military as an institution is fundamental to our society, not just in terms of our nation's security and our national defense, but just the continuity they provide. And we just went through an election this week.
Yeah,
and having our military serve, regardless of who's at the top, is very key for maintaining our society, for maintaining our Constitution as we go forward. And that's the pledge we all take.
Yeah.
And
we're unique in this.
Absolutely.
Our system is so unique that it really doesn't. We don't worry. We don't play politics with our military folk, not at the level that we are. You do your job and
right.
Let them work it out, whatever they have to work it out.
When I was in Air War College, I went to a foreign country. I'm not going to name the country. But what struck me there is we were meeting with senior military members. And I remember their 4-star chief of staff was reading a brand new copy of his newly edited and revised Constitution. And I thought, wow, you got to be kidding me. Our Constitution has stood the test of time.
Yes.
In our nation's fabric.
Absolutely.
And what we do. And so I think, like I said, the institution of the military is very important, which brings it back to financial readiness and not having to worry about your finances at home, so that our young men and women in uniform can take care of business overseas, which is what we ask them to do for us.
That's right. Protect us. Kim, tell us where we can find this manual and kind of give everybody welcome them to your site, please.
Definitely. Well, at Kiplinger.com, it's Kiplinger.com/links/field manual, although it should be right up on the front Kiplinger.com site over the weekend. And also, if anyone has questions for me, I do a column twice every week called Ask Kim. I answer all kinds of reader personal finance questions, whether it's military-related or anything else, retirement, savings, college, taxes, a little bit of everything. So I would love to hear from y'all. It's AskKim@Kiplinger.com.
Folks, in these pages, you're going to find practical, easy-to-understand information to help you make decisions about the new retirement plan, make the most of other new savings opportunities, prepare financially for deployment, and take advantage of special benefits and tax breaks. Protect yourself from scams that target service members and get ready for a smooth transition to civilian life when you leave the military. Andy R. Anthony R. Hernandez, recently retired. Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
All right. Kim Lankford, thank you for what you write and for the service, for the time you spent. We're delighted to have you on the show. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. And wherever you are, if you see somebody in service, walk up to them and say sincerely, thank you for your service. Shake their hand and let them know how proud you are of them. I'm proud of you being with us today. We'll be back next week, same time, same place.